have gone to their classes.
Recorder is on. And I think all systems are go. No, it's not. I'm not at the text I want to be. Psalm 139, if you'd like to find that while I do the same. All right. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would work through this lesson. Our desire, Father, is you would accomplish your purposes and achieve in us, dear Lord, what you know we have need of. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remit. Your account is due at once. Your account is overdue. Remit immediately. Bill and Mary Williams could still feel the strain of the past few weeks. Their son Bobby had spent several weeks in the hospital, and their old car had gone its last mile. Then they opened another bill for professional services rendered, said the bill from their doctor. Bills from the drugstore, the department store, the garage seemed everywhere. Everybody that they dealt with was sending them a bill. I just don't know how we'll make ends meet paying all these bills, he said. Well, trying to find something humorous about which their situation could be, the intensity of it could be lightened a little bit, Mary quipped, "Isn't it good that God doesn't send bills?" Yes, and that was the effect that it had in what was a crisis time. And though the conditions continued, nevertheless, it just helped them through that time. And that's a sobering thought. If God sent bills, we would never get out of debt. If God sent bills, how would we deal with it? What if God did send bills for the benefits that we enjoy? I want to look a little bit at the cost of body upkeep. Now, all of this and the figures I'm sharing, you have to always factor in inflation. From the time that the study was given that I'm referencing, things change, okay? Can you imagine a bill on body maintenance? Psalm 139, and I'm going to read verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God has created a marvelous thing in the creation of man. The Library of Congress has a wall inscription that says, "There is but one temple in the universe, that is the body of man." Shakespeare even said, "What a piece of work is man." Yes, indeed. Your body, sitting there in the pew, your life, and all that it comprises is quite unique. Let's consider some areas. First, the ears. The ears, small musical masterpiece on each side of the head. The average piano has, anybody know how many keys? 88 keys, yes. Each ear has a keyboard with 1,500 keys. so sensitive that you can hear your own blood running. Now, I don't think that would work if you're going to sit there and try and hear your blood running. I don't think it'll work. You've got to be in a whole different setting for that to take place. And I don't know if everybody can always hear their blood running, but you know it's amazing, the ear. And outside of the ear, it's capable of catching 73,700 vibrations. Now, these are smart men and women that have figured these things out. You say, how do you know that's true? I don't. But how do you know it's not true? Just because it sounds like a lot doesn't mean it couldn't be. So I cannot substantiate some of these statistics that I'm reading, though I know I did for the eye go on the internet to check it out, okay? And I found so much information on the eye, I had to stop, you know. My purpose wasn't to research the eye, it was to verify an illustration. And so the eye, one of the best examples of design within the human body is the eye. Charles Darwin struggled with the problem, he being what is usually considered the founder of evolution, the creator of evolution, whatever you'd like to term it. But he struggled with the problem of how to explain such a complex organ as the eye. How could it have evolved through the naturalistic process? In The Origin of the Species, he wrote, and I quote, "To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of the spherical and chromatic aberration could have been formed." How? What he just described. "Could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest sense." Now that's what Darwin said. The eye just, you know, it was a wall that he ran into in his whole Origin of the Species and the natural evolution, you know, of things. But even though Darwin acknowledged it, that the eye could not have evolved, he went on to argue that it had. Many compare the eye to a camera, but it is far more complex and intricate than even the best of cameras. So this amazing thing of our body. And then there's feet. Each foot, and some of these things you will have heard before, each foot contains 26 small bones, none wider than a thumb. Whose thumb? Well, if it's your foot, we'll say your thumb. And so arched with ligaments, tendons, muscles, and joints so that it can support a person of 300 pounds. Okay? Now, you think about weightlifters, whatever they weigh, and then they pick up those dumbbells and they lift them and hoist them, and they're able to achieve great strength, you know, to be able to do that. And their feet are supporting it. Let's look at the heart. Has anybody here had the opportunity, and it had to be years past, in Philadelphia, there's the Ben Franklin Institute. And someone recently went there And I heard that what I'm about to describe is no longer there. But at one time, they had a huge walk-through heart. It wasn't there. Then it must have been your cells that were there, and I wonder. It's sort of rubberized is what it was. You could feel it, and it felt rubbery. But you would walk into it. You would walk through the left ventricle, the right ventricle, the upper chambers, the lower chambers, and all the while, you heard it, thump, 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 thump. And there were descriptions of how much blood was pumped by the heart. And how it flowed, and it came in here, and it went out there, and you know, what happens if it's blocked? It was an amazing creation. I was sorry to hear that they didn't have it anymore. But I went there quite a few years ago. Oh, man. Everything's a few years ago anymore. Where did time go? Okay. But it's about the size of your fist, I'm told. It beats 4,320 times an hour. Now there's something if you don't have anything to do. Just sit there and count them. See how accurate this is. That would make it 100,000 times a day. A drop of blood can make a round trip through your circulatory system in just 22 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me as well. Now, let's go with these brief descriptions of some key parts of the body to the economics of inflation. And you say, where is this going? It's going somewhere. Okay, so just sit and enjoy the unusual. But a Dr. Donald T. Furman, a biochemist at Northwestern University, Evanston, Illinois, he said it would cost he was writing this in 1977, these statistics, okay? He said it would cost about $5.60 to buy chemicals that make up the body of a person. And that's about a person of about 150 pounds. All right? So he then said in 1936, they cost 98 cents. In 1969, $3.50. He did his research in 1977, and he said that then it was $5.60. Then I did some calculation. Again, you know, Al Gore was royally ridiculed for his inaccurate statement regarding himself and the internet. But nevertheless, though he didn't create the internet, he made a very true statement regarding it being the information highway. It is unbelievable. I went on there and I found half a dozen calculators for inflation. And nevertheless, what I found was the $5.60. If you went to 2000, it was $15.91. You want to know how? No, I ain't going there. It's a 150-pound body that the doctor used. Oh my! In 2018, you were worth $23.20. Now that's humbling, isn't it? It doesn't matter what you have in the bank or what you're able to earn. You, as a physical being, are worth $23.20. But take heart, in 1936, your grandparents were only worth 98 cents. So things are improving. How much would it cost for the normal upkeep of one human body? Well, not the biochemists, but others that have done what I'll call research on this sort of thing. Like I say, the minds of people that can not only think about doing these things, but then do them. It just astounds me. In an attempt to answer what it would cost, they compared a person's body to a car.
Okay.
For 70 years, looking at 70 years as a somewhat normal lifespan. And some mechanics estimated that it would take 50 sets of tires, 60 tune-ups, 4 transmissions, 30 sets of brakes, 1,700 wash jobs. I think they're a little light on that over 70-year period. 100 grease and oil changes. Well, see, now things have changed since this was done, because we don't, when you go in, you don't get, your grease fittings don't, you don't get grease. My goodness, first time I went to a shop and had an oil change and grease job, and I just stand there looking, you know, and I thought, well, when's he gonna put the grease on the thing, you know? And so I asked him, and he said, oh, they don't have greased fittings anymore. They're, you know, everything's disposable. That includes your money. and if the people who did this, they said it could take up to 10 new engines over a 70-year period. Okay. Now, first of all, this is a miracle car if it's going to last for 70 years. Though, I think Dick Ruggles' truck is getting close to it. I followed you here, and my goodness, I thought that truck is still running.
630,000 miles.
How much?
630,000 miles.
630. What brand is it?
Ford.
Ah, no wonder. My son-in-law, my friend, if he found that out, none of us would ever have any peace anymore to live. All right. There would be unlimited minor repairs. They estimated in the day they did this that it would take $45,000 of gasoline. And that, of course, depends on the fluctuation of the price of gas. You calculate in some of these later years, and that's going to have gone up. So, not counting taxes, insurance, license, the original cost of the car for 70 years, it would be, it would cost, what, $100,000? So, it's unbelievable. Thou art fearfully, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What about the cost of breathing? Okay, stop breathing for a little while. And some of you smiled about that. I'm told we breathe 18 times a minute. I'm trying to understand that. I thought I breathe all the time. So, is that what they mean? Inhale, exhale, you know? I don't know what they mean. That's 25,920 times a day. And what would it cost to breathe through an oxygen tank? Well, for 70 years, it was estimated 700,000. Now, has that gone up or has it lowered? You know, the cost of a lot of things has lowered in the last 15 years. And so, but 700,000, that's a lot of money. And what about the cost of sunlight? Even on an overcast day, you know, we're getting the benefits of the sun. And then on a beautiful day like yesterday, when we see the actual rays of the sun, it's just wonderful. How many of you are like me? And that is, you need sunshine. And when you don't have sunshine, you go down, down, down. Anybody like that? Oh, we got one there, 2, 3. And there's some of you that are like that, and you just don't know it, okay? You think you just got out on the wrong side of bed and the sun just isn't shining. One day, I bought a device. It's about the size of my phone, maybe a tiny bit bigger. It's got lights on it. They're supposed to be the kind of lights. And I got this, and I set it on my desk and turned it on. And, you know, it was supposed to do for you biologically what the sun does and the rays of the sun. And so I bought it and I plugged it in and I sat there a couple days and Pat said to me, well, how's that light work? I said, I don't know. I said, do I seem happier? Do I not seem as down? And she said, seemed the same to me. I haven't used it lately. And so, but the cost of sunlight. Utility companies estimated an average six-room house uses 1,750 watts per hour if lights burned day and night. Well, now, whose lights burn day and night all the time? Some people, I guess, but not really. But anyway, they multiplied the wattage by 100 to arrive at the intensity of the sun. The sun's light would cost over $1 million for one life of 70 years. What's it cost? If God sent bills, what would it cost for us to pay, you see, just to be, just to exist? I mean, these same things, similar things, would be true of natives that live in a jungle, for they get the benefits that God created. Oh, they don't have the problems of automobiles, though they have the problems of canoes, you know. You know, it's a whole lot easier to go to a used car lot and buy a car than it is to make a dugout canoe. You know, and when the river is your main means of transportation, you have to do it. But, that, you know, what seems strange to us, that's just normal to them. But let's go into another area now. What about the cost of daily prayer? How much would prayer cost? Of course, there's no way that we can put a price tag on it. To some people, it would not be as valuable putting a price tag on it as to some other people. But think of this. Telephone companies claim that you can talk to any country, anywhere. You can. And now with cell phones, that's just increased. So I thought, you know, the statistics that I used to put together this message, I thought, there's no way that these would still be accurate. And so I went online and I looked at international calling, okay? Similar thing would be true for in the United States, but I looked at international calling, and this is so for landlines and cell phones. There's a company called Boss Revolution. Costs $5 a month. There's another company called Pingo, P-I-N-G-O. In that one, you just buy time. I'm trying to think what the current rate to the United Kingdom is. $0.10 a minute, maybe? No, that can't be. It's gotta be something like $0.03 a minute. So it's, you know, quite reasonable. And the reason I say $0.10 a minute couldn't be right, because when Pat gets on and talks with Monica, you know, the bill would be, and in that one you just buy time. I put $25 onto it, and it's automatic. When it gets down to just $5 left, then it just charges me for $25 of minutes and of time, and then they get deducted. When you use them, you go through the company 800 number, and that's how this Boss Revolution is, only it costs $5 a month. Well, that would be $60 a year, and over 70 years, that's only $4,200. Now, that's really not too bad, okay? And it's not bad, but in prayer, you never hear, all lines are in use, please try again later. Because we've gotten that with Pingo, and that's similar to this Boss Revolution. And so, you know, the lines are never busy in when it comes to prayer. But then I looked at Verizon, and their unlimited Together world covers 160 countries as low as 5 cents. That means it could be as high as 10 cents or 15 cents to some country. And then they also have a standard pay per minute that starts at 49 cents a minute. That goes to 230 countries. That would be for somebody who doesn't call to foreign countries very often. And so, you know, now I didn't try and figure out the 70-year figures on this, because much of it would depend upon how much calling you did. And then the newest thing that's going communication-wide, it's not new, but compared to telephones themselves, is what I call VoIP, V-O-I-P, Voice Over Internet Protocol. And there, the per minute rates are just 2 to 5 cents in so many of the countries that I looked at. But there's a monthly fee. And that is either, that runs from $20 to $50 a month. Now, the lower the minute rate, then the higher the monthly fee. Remember, these companies are in business. Forget what their ads say. They're not in business to make your life happier. They're in business to make money. And you remember that with any business. They're in business to make money. If you can be happy while they make money, that's nice. But they don't really care if you're not happy, as long as you're buying their product. All right. You say, where are we going with this? I told you we're going there, and we're just about there. I want you to consider the low cost of high living. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Indeed, God has saved us. He's given us the gift of eternal life. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's a marvelous salvation that God's given to us. If God sent bills, we wouldn't have to worry about a 70-year lifetime warranty or maintenance. Just the cost of getting the gift of eternal life would be far beyond what we could pay. Now, I have some verses here that talk about protection from God. Now, I've got a lot of verses, probably about 10, 12 of them. So I'm going to read them to you. If you want to make note, write them down so you look them up. I'm saying it so you know that. But I knew that we would not have the time to look them up. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We have protection from God. If you were to try and calculate the value of the life that we have based on some of the things like I read about. There's no way that we would be able to repay God for all that he's done for us. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Who of us hasn't been in trouble at one time or another? But what we've been able to go to God in prayer, we've been able to go to the scriptures and read those scriptures, and God is able to give us direction, comfort, and strength that we need. Just like some medicines, when you first take it, you wonder, well, I wonder what that'll do. And it's after you take it a while that you begin to see the benefits and the results. So it is when you're in a time of trouble, you may be reading the Bible and you may not have any aha moments, you know. And you may have sat there and read for a lengthy period of time and you closed the Bible and you the burden's still there, the trouble's still there. Keep reading. Just like some medicine, it has to get in your whole system before it's going to begin to do its benefit. And so it is, as we read the scriptures, then there's times where he tells us something and we need to do what it says. We need to respond to it according to what we've considered there in the words of the Bible. And then we begin to see that benefit come. We are in such a instant society, you know, quick. I go through drive-through, and if I have to sit there more than 3 minutes, I become impatient. Why? This is supposed to be fast food. Well, they began to realize they can't really keep it all that fast and satisfy the quality, and so now they're focusing their advertising on the quality of the food. It's made individually for you. Go into McDonald's now, and you can't just stand there at the counter and get your bag and leave. You got to go sit down, and some lady's got to bring it out to you. Why are we paying you to bring it out? I could have stood here and got it like I used to. You say, you're just old and don't want to change. Part of that's true. the old part. The change part, I don't mind change. As a matter of fact, I like change. My wife said when we first started coming here, and I says, well, how's it going for you? And she said, well, you know. And she said to me, how's it going for you? I says, I like it. And she said, yeah, that's because you like change. Now, we have a daughter named Cindy, okay? She's like that. They moved to York. They've recently looked for a house, and she likes change. Now she's advanced herself probably 3 times within the place that she works. She works for Public Housing Authority in the state of Pennsylvania. And she enjoys change. The point is, the change that God wants to bring, it can take time to put it into its full effect. Psalm 57 and verse 1, and it's written, this psalm was written to the chief musician of David when he had fled from Saul and was in the cave, okay? You know, the place of music in God, is what I'm going to say. In God, the place of music is unbelievable. Now, here we have Psalm 57, and it's about a historic involvement of David and Saul in a cave. And he doesn't just tell the story, he puts it in song. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. When I read that, I think of Pat. Yesterday was a good day. She was looking forward to coming today. But last night she laid awake for 3-4 hours. The fact that her body is not functioning at her normal strength, and then the sleeplessness is put on top of that. And I told her when she went to bed, I said, now you leave me a note. And that way I know whether I should wake you at the usual time. And when I went out during the wee hours, well, no, it must have been about 5-6 o'clock. I went out to the kitchen and there was a note. All it said was no. Mm-hmm. That way I knew to leave her sleep. Now that gave me a dilemma. I need to leave her sleep. I like to know she's awake and okay.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm going to leave and she's going to be sleeping. And it was a dilemma, and God provided, because she got up before I left. And she said, every Sunday morning I have an English muffin. Half of it is spread with peanut butter, and then butter on top of that. It melts. You have to hold over the plate because it's going to drip. Oh, it's so good. Then the other half just has butter, okay? And that's not as messy. She said, should I get your English muffin? I said, no, that's all right. I had a piece of toast this morning. And then and she's laying in bed while she's saying this, you know. And then she said, well, you're going to stay for lunch? I said, yes. She said, well, then I probably ought to get up and cut that block of cheese up. And you can take cheese and some of those Ritz-type crackers. And Ritz-type means you get them at Aldi, since so they're not Ritz. And so, anyway, I said, no, that's all right. And so I cut up the block of cheese and the pack of crackers. And then when I left, she has a thing. She likes to stand at the window and watch when family members leave. And when I left, she was in bed. And when I was backing out of the driveway, fortunately, I thought to look. And she was standing in the window, waving goodbye. And one of the things she said to me, she said, you know, if when I wake up, I actually feel okay, maybe I'll drive out for the 1 o'clock. And I said, are you up to that long a drive? She's driven to the dentist and Walmart, but, you know, not that far. And she said, yeah, I think I can. And so who knows what we'll see. But the point is, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. She said, I don't understand. Why I don't have strength? I said, might it have something to do with the fact that you had a stroke only 2 months ago? And you're 77 years old, might that have anything to factor into it? And she says, well, maybe. But God is our refuge. The very God, Thessalonians says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So, this maintenance of this body, maintenance of this life, what's the price tag you put on it? When you factor in what God told us in 1 Thessalonians 5, he is going to take care of our spirit, soul, and body, our entire being he provides for and cares for. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's amazing. It's marvelous. But even beyond that is the amazing and marvelous way in which God takes care of us. Every one of us might be able to think of a time, and if not every one of us, many of us could think of a time when we should have died. Because of whatever the experience was, that we're living. And for that, we thank God.
Amen.
And we praise his name. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your marvelousness. Help us to be thankful, dear Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.